Hey gang, are you new to this podcast? Have you subscribed on iTunes and Stitcher and realized that you can only access the 20 most recent shows on these platforms? Do you want to binge on How Did I Get Here? Well, check out our archives. Available for free, simply go to howdidigethere.podbean.com. Look on the right-hand column and our entire catalog is easily accessible by month and year. Hear great conversations with artists like Quiet Company, Sweet Spirit, Zeely, The Wind and the Wave, and today's guest host, Elizabeth McQueen. That's howdidigethere.podbean.com. Start listening. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Hey guys, it's Elizabeth McQueen here. How did I get here? Episode number 598. You might be a little surprised because you may have been expecting to hear Johnny Gowdy, but you're hearing me because I am interviewing Johnny Gowdy specifically about the How Did I Get Here of this podcast. And this is not the first time that we've actually done this interview. It's not even the second time. This is the third time we've done this interview, Johnny Gowdy, which is exciting to me.
It is exciting.
I feel like now we're really going to get it.
Yeah.
So the first time I came over was last week, and I was in a bummer place. I was super burnt out, and I was a total bummer, and I hadn't done any research.
Our friends had died the day before.
And our friends had died that day.
Yeah, that day.
I thought it was that day.
It was the day before, but
we were finding out about it right then. And I was super burnt out, and I left, and I started listening to your podcast episodes with the people who had passed away, with George Reef and with Jimmy LaFave. And then I just realized that, like, all I wanted to do was listen to this podcast. So after a couple of days, I texted you and said, hey, can we redo that? And you immediately were like, yeah, we can.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel that way, then definitely. Yeah.
So I came over, we redid it, and then we just finished, but then
I deleted it, as I have deleted ones before.
There was an accidental deletion.
Accidental deletion of the podcast. So that's my new theme song.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry I deleted it, but thank you so much for doing this a third time.
It's okay. It's my pleasure, because I've accidentally deleted many things on my podcast. It's like I have a podcast called This Song that I produce for KUTX here in Austin, and it's really heavily edited. And there have been a number of times when I've done like hours worth of editing.
Oh, yeah.
But I do it in Audition. And I used to work in Logic, which does kind of an autosave for you.
Right.
But Audition does not. And so I'll like do hours of editing. And then I'll like close out and just like, do you want to save? And I'll accidentally hit no.
Mm-hmm. That's what I did while we were talking.
Boom.
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 Instant loser.
Instant loser. So I get to interview you because you're approaching your 600th podcast. And yeah, for $5.99, you're going to do like a DJ thing where you can play music
from the last 100 episodes.
From the last 100.
And then 600 is a live.
Yeah.
Live show.
But this is where you get to talk. You get to be on the other end.
I get
end
to
of the
talk
thing.
About what this experience has been like.
Yes.
For me.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So
am I giving the same answers every time, or am I changing
them
every time?
I don't know.
I mean,
I feel like it's, are we treading the same? We'll just see.
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll see
some of it'll be the same, and some of it won't. But you know, not everyone knows why you started this podcast, like what led you to it. And we didn't actually talk about that in the last one that we just deleted. So I think your audience would like to know why you got involved in podcasting in the first place, because you've been a musician since you were like 14,
right?
And so for a long time, it's like you were a musician. You had a record deal. You like were in Skyrocket. You've been doing this a long time. It's like the only thing you wanted to do. And then in 2011, you start a podcast. Why?
For a lot of different reasons. One of them was I had always been interested in the talk radio format. In those days when I was becoming a musician, being 13 and 14, I remember going to Miami and visiting my dad, and he listened to talk radio in the car. I can't remember what those guys' names were, like Paul, I want to say Paul Ryan, but it's not Paul Ryan. There was a guy that preceded Rush Limbaugh named Paul something.
Huh.
And then
was he Rush Limbaugh-esque? Was he like bombastic and right-leaning?
Yes. Okay. My dad wouldn't listen to a left-leaning show. What are you, communist?
Johnny just played me 10 minutes of his dad. So I believe it.
So my dad's chance to get cold to Haiti. What a weird story. Anyway, I'm glad I have that on disc. So I would listen to it, and I loved the format. And the first time that we talked, I told you that eventually I went on and I would start listening to like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and like G. Gordon Liddy and all these guys, because I thought they were really good at broadcasting.
Has Sean Hannity been on the radio for a long time?
Yeah, I would listen to Sean Hannity in like 2002.
No way! I thought
Hannity
and
Combs has been on for a long time. Hannity and Combs.
Was he on the radio or was he on Fox?
He's on the radio and on Fox.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Double duty.
So here's the thing: you're a pretty like left-leaning dude.
I wasn't listening to it for the content. I just loved the excitement of it, and those guys are really entertaining. While I do enjoy the content of an NPR radio show, and even then, they would be saying things that I wanted to hear. Sometimes I was more excited to hear people saying things in a really exciting way that I just didn't really want to hear, but I enjoyed the experience.
So rather than like...
And what they were doing, they were like agitating an audience, you know?
Right. They were...
And riling people up.
Like playing on people's emotions.
Yeah, yeah. And they could really do it. And then you find great guys like Howard Stern is, you know, he still does that. But when he was having his thing and they started playing him on the radio here, like in the 90s and listening to him then... And I loved the whole thing. And then my friend Alexander Valenti was asking me one day if I'd heard this somebody on Fresh Air. And I was like, no, I'm never in my car one at a time. And she's like, oh, you know, you can download it and put it on your iPod. It's a podcast. And she explained to me what it was. And I went, I looked it up and I got it. And then I remember telling my cousin Eric, like at the Christmas of 2010, which is like, you know, the year before I started this, telling him like, oh, and I listen to Fresh Air, it's this thing called podcast. And he's like, well, dude, you realize like half the comedians that you love have podcasts, and there's like original podcast content. And so he turned me on to Marin, turned me on to a Who Charted, which features a guy that I know from here, and we've been friends for a long time. And I've just, you know, I got really into it. And the Marin one I specifically was attracted to, because here I saw a guy that had been through the mill in his career of comedy, like I had been through, and you're getting bitter, and here you are, you're having these great conversations with people. You could tell he was feeling better, and it also was connecting him to his community, which I felt I needed to do.
I mean,
to not have resentment. So when I saw, you know, people doing well at something, I wouldn't find it to be a personal attack on me.
Was that how it was feeling at the time? Like sometimes, when someone would have success, it would be like, well,
it was in the years before. There was such a thing. There was a thing. There was a lot of my mom's murder stuff. I would never talk about it before that trial was solved. And there were times when people would find out about it, like when I was signed to Elektra. And one day I got a call from our publicist that was like, hey, I didn't know this thing about your mom, but someone was telling me that they know this about you, and they wanted to know if you want to talk about it and thing. And I was like, no.
No,
yeah. I don't want to do that, because I felt then like I was capitalizing, you know, like, hey, my mom died and I'm really fucked up. Hey, buy my record.
Right, yeah.
And so I did feel weird about it. But once that thing happened and once the trial ended and the guy was convicted and I went on TV and stuff about it, once all that stuff, I felt like, oh, I can really be open and talk about anything now. And that was one of the last sort of straws. That Dale Dudley and his suicide podcast, which he never killed himself, but he was by himself doing the thing. And just like, it can be done. I had all this stuff. All I needed was to get like some different mic stands, but I had the mics and I had all the recording equipment and everything. So it was like, I can do this. And I have in my phone at least 100 people that I could text and call and get to come over and talk about what they've done in music.
So then how long did it take between like, oh, I think I could do that, to like, I'm actually doing the thing?
I guess in July or something, like, so that was Christmas. And then I was like, I would ask people like, oh, I'm thinking about doing this thing. Should I do it? And they'd be like, oh yeah. Or, you know, explain what a podcast is. I started listening to them all the time and saw Marin's and realized like that's the format I could follow. And I guess I started trying to record them in like July or August, and I had Jeremy Nail came over swimming one day, and before we went out there swimming, I was like, "Will you do this thing?" We did it, and then when I went back and listened to it later on that night, I was not good.
So what was bad about it? Like what was not good? Was it just boring questions or like?
It just there was no style, there was no point. Like, you know what I mean? Like there was no. I was saying a lot and all this stuff. Paulo Vasey still gives me a lot of shit about saying all the time on the show.
Well, he's probably listened to a lot of them because, like, you know, Susanna's been on a bunch, so his wife.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he, so then I realized it was, I was talking aggressively. I was interrupting the whole time and it wasn't good. It just, I wish I would have kept it. Because I wish I could show people, like, it really wasn't good.
I do kind of really want to hear it now.
Yeah, me too.
But you would, like, practice before. I mean, I know then, this because you
then
told
I
me.
Really started practicing. And like, so, I would practice, and I would get Jessie, who was my girlfriend, was living here at the time, and we would sit down and talk for an hour.
And then would you go back and listen to it?
Mm-hmm.
And
I'd listen to the whole thing.
And then would you, like, tweak things for the next time?
Realize that, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, and then I started with a fake voice because I didn't like the sound of this regular voice. So I started talking like this when I came on the thing. And that was terrible. But that happened in the show. Like the first few episodes, I talk like that in the intros and stuff.
Well, which is interesting because you like all the guys that you kind of list as your influences are like these real bombastic guys.
Yeah.
And like Mark Maron does his thing. But then there's also Terry Gross in there. And she has like a real like calming kind of vibe going. So it sounds like you started in like a Terry Gross.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to be taken as like a bombastic crazy guy. I wanted to be taken seriously. And who gets taken seriously? People on NPR. And how do they talk calmly? It's that easy. Even Langer, he still does it on KGSR, doesn't he? Like,
does he? I don't know.
This is Andy Langer. You know what I mean?
Well, radio voice is a thing. And I think like, yeah, there's
you're
a
still you on the radio.
Yeah, but that's just because I never had any practice. And I don't do a whole lot of stuff. They make us do a thing called air checks with Jody Denberg, where you sit in a room with Jody Denberg and you listen to yourself, that like what you've done on the air. And then gives you notes. And it's horrifying.
I'm going to hire that fucking guy to come over
and
do that with me.
Oh, my gosh. He's really good. Like, the stuff that he says is really good. But to hear me on the radio saying the stuff that I say, because I'm a talker. Yeah. Like between songs, I'll just kind of ramble on
and
about nothing.
You also throw out like very goofy jokes.
Yeah, I do.
in you're committed to telling this joke, no matter how silly the comment is or anything.
Oh yeah, I mean that is like part of it is.
So what do they give you? They give you notes.
So Jody will give you notes, and then and they're really good notes. Like,
let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Give me, like, you just listened to a bunch of episodes. You had to have heard something that I do that's not good.
I didn't.
Surely I'm not that much of a genius.
I actually, you know, I mean, I talked about this dark place that I was in, like, last week when I came in here. And I was just super burnt out. And I've actually just been enjoying the fuck out of your podcast. Like, I don't have any notes like, hey, Johnny, man, I think you really should, like. Oh, I have one note. And I think that you should ask dudes about their families more, or ask women about their stuff less. Because I feel like there's some guys who got in, like, I want to hear what it's like for these guys who have like families, but like tour. Like, what's that like, man?
Oh, because,
you know,
because I'm old school like that.
Yeah,
I?
But yeah. Like Bree Bagwell came in and like you like grilled her about her love life. And I was like, well, if he was a dude.
Well, because I met that fireman that came to her house that was her boyfriend. It was totally hunky. I mean, that's the only,
you don't do it with the sexes. I just noticed it in the Brie Bagwell, but I really do wish that sometimes you would talk more about people's family stuff, but that's just because I've got two kids and I'm really interested to know how guys especially interface with their careers and their families, because music is a career that takes you away from your family.
Yeah.
And so how do people deal with that? But that's the only thing. Other than that, I think it's great. Like, I think you're a great interviewer, honestly.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think that
I think you are too, by the way. That's why I wanted you to do this. Initially, you know, we got to give credit where credit is due. The idea for this show was Todd Wolfson.
Yeah, Todd
Wolfson. He said, I should go in there and talk to you about the podcast. And then a couple days later, I called him and I was like, are you serious? And he's like, oh, no, you should get someone real to go in there and do that because I'm just going to make fun of you the whole time. And I was like, okay. And so the first person that came to mind was like, who else understands my thing? And I was like, you do.
Well, thanks. I mean, yeah. I appreciate that, but I am not as good an interviewer as you are.
But no, you're not. That's why you have to do all... No, I'm just joking.
That's why I have to edit the shit. I mean, I edit my podcast, and the one rule of the podcast is everybody looks good. So, like, I edit out all the, like, awkwardness, and there is a lot of awkwardness. And I edit out my awkwardness, and I edit out the guest's awkwardness, and I edit out the long pauses. I make everyone look... good, but like you make people look good just by talking to them because you don't edit it.
It's funny that you say that because I remember not terribly early on, maybe in the first 100, but later on in that somebody did kind of be like, oh man, I sound like a dick on your thing. And I was like,
you're like, sorry dude,
I didn't do anything, I just let you talk. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess that people could dig their own graves, but for the most part, people just sound really like kind themselves. Of at their best. Yeah. And I think that's because, you know, we talked about this in the second round of the interview, which is that I really do think that you are like the right person for this job. The way that Marc Maron was the right guy to do this for comedy.
Yeah.
Because he like knew a million people. And like you said, he'd been through the ringer. Like you have been in Austin since you were 14.
Yeah.
Right?
I've been coming here and hanging out and being a part of the scene. Like,
and playing gigs since you were 14. Yeah, like, so you know people from forever. Like, and you've done a ton of things. And you have, it's not like you just know people. Like, you've kind of worked with everyone. Or if you haven't worked with someone, you've worked with someone that they've worked with. They're like, you've hung out with them or you have a great story about it. You're so enmeshed in the scene.
Yeah.
That it really, like, you're kind of the perfect guy for this job.
That's what Kathy Valentine told me. And that was kind of like, when she was like, oh, you could, yeah, you're the guy that should be, of course, why not?
Yeah.
And I guess, yeah, my generational reach is both, you know, people way ahead of me in it to, you know, people coming up now.
Yeah, well, I think that the other thing is that you're not one of those guys who's like, I'm done listening to music. Anything past 1993 is not cool. You know what I mean? It's like, you seem pretty open to actually enjoying
that
music.
Took some work.
People are, really? Mm-hmm. Was that a result of this podcast?
Well, this podcast made it a lot easier to do that because I have to listen to at least a couple new albums a week.
Had you gotten to a point before where you were like,
sure, everybody does.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's nothing. What's that guy? He's not playing music. He's pushing a computer button. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that guy because pushing a computer button is music. You know what I mean? There's people that think when the electric guitar was invented, you weren't really playing, you know? And so when the drum machines came along in the 80s and started rocking my world, people would be like, oh, that's not even music.
It's just electronics, it's just, man.
That guy just pushed a button and the music happened. But, you know, look, it's all happening and... It can be, I mean, it is weird, and I know that you explored electronic music with your last...
I am exploring electronic music. For my 40th birthday, I just bought this this Akai, like...
The push button thing?
Like a push button thing.
Like the thing that they all use on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, like I love those things, and because you can hook them up to not only like to Ableton... But you can also hook them up to like things like Resolume, and you can do stuff with video with them.
Right.
You can connect music and video. Yeah, that's all I want to do is like push a bunch of buttons and make a bunch of samples and make electronic music. That's my total interest right now. But
I realized like I'm in a band with people that we're playing music that's like at least almost 30 years old at this point, at least, if not 40 or 40 something years old. And sometimes those guys, nothing against them, but there's a couple of them every once in a while, they'll be like, nothing, get off my lawn. And so I don't want to be like, I mean, that fucking scares me, man.
Yeah.
Like that's it. Then you're not Peter Pan anymore. You know what I mean? Then you're like, Yeah, you're like Captain Hook, and no one wants to be that guy, no man. No one wants to be. No.
But you kind of can't be, because you do this podcast, and twice a week you talk to musicians, and some of those musicians play in, like, traditional bands, and some of those musicians, like, do not, you know? So you have to be, like, open to it, which I think is cool.
Yeah. And I have to be open to music that, you know, I mean, not everybody in here, I think, is going to end up in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes I've got to find, and it makes you a much kinder judge. I find myself, when someone hears something immediately and goes like, oh, they suck, you're like, no, hey, look, man. You know what I mean?
That person, well, because...
Where's your last record? That's always what I'm saying. Like, at least they're doing it, man.
Well, yeah, and you know, anyone who makes anything puts everything that they've got into it. You know what I mean? I mean, some people half-ass it or whatever, but for the most part, like, if you're doing it and you're taking the time, whatever you're making at whatever level it is, it's like you're putting yourself as much as you can into it at that moment,
right.
You know? And I think you're right. It's like that is the Austin thing. Where people in Austin are not supposed to care if you end up in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
Supposed to love you, like...
Right.
No matter what. Yeah. And that, I mean, that was the Austin that I moved to.
Sure.
Was that the Austin that you moved to?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a little different now because it's expensive. And so you kind of have to make money, maybe. And there are people moving here who are like, there's a lot of normal people moving here.
Yeah.
And normal people tend to think that you're only a success in music if you're like...
Oh, yeah.
Madonna.
Yeah.
Or... Justin Bieber.
That's
something.
I wish I had a recording of my dad saying this. I remember him saying, I'd stop playing because he was saying in a band, look at that guy chasing that car and the girl with flowers. Look at that shit. That guy's getting laid.
Uh oh.
That guy.
Is she into it? It's a hug.
Well, it seems like an all in hug.
No,
there wasn't.
Yeah.
There wasn't a meeting of the lips.
That wasn't.
Sorry, you guys. I'm sitting facing a window, and a car just pulled up, and a guy came running behind the car with a bouquet of flowers, gave it to a girl, and I thought it was all going to happen. Oh, they're going to do it right there. What were we just saying?
I don't know. We were seeing your dad.
Your dad
played in a band.
Okay, so yeah, then he sang in a band, yeah. And he said, I knew, you know, when I was in my late teens that... I was never going to be Tom Jones.
And so if I can't be Tom
Jones. So I went into something else. Yeah.
It's like.
My thing is like, you didn't want to be Johnny Gowdy. That's his name too, unfortunately. But that, you didn't want to be Johnny Gowdy. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm cool with not being Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
Well, plus I grew up, you know, around Hallman and around all these people and people that were like the bass player of a band.
Yeah.
That was his job. He wasn't like Adam Clayton of U2. He made a living going in. Like a guy goes to work in the morning and does whatever he does. This guy went to work in the evening.
Yeah.
Did whatever he did.
Well, and you also, you went for it. I mean, you went for the thing.
Oh, sure.
You went for the like big label, like going for the thing.
That's what I was going for the whole time. But honestly, I was just touring in a van.
Yeah.
Even when I had the big label, I was still a guy just in a van. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Touring around.
Well, and at some point I think you kind of realized that like, yeah, at whatever level it is, It's good just to do it. It's better to do it than not to do it.
I think there gets to be a point, and this is the thing that's been keeping me, what I've been trying to get back to stay interested, is to go back and feel like the same reason why I got together with my dudes in eighth grade and went into a garage all day on Saturday and all day on Sunday and did it, was because doing it is really fun. Making music is really fun. Making music with other people is so fun.
Yeah, it's the jam.
You know, it's the jam. That's exactly what it is. It's literally the jam.
Is making the podcast fun for you?
Yeah, it has that same kind of thing. And it's cooler because, or not cooler, it's cool on its own level because really after doing this for so long, there's nobody else involved. Like this is just...
It's just you.
Yeah. Nobody can tell me what to do or anything. Or you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like having a...
It's weird.
Like having a solo gig. But like
having a long solo gig, like
really
almost
long.
6 years of fucking like almost 600 times I've.
That's so crazy to me, dude. So crazy. And so we talked about this a little earlier, but when did you decide that this was the thing? Because you can start a thing and you can do it for a while and then you can be like, yeah, that's cool. Like, but I don't know if I'm going to continue doing the thing. Like at what point were you like, this is it. I'm in 2 episodes a week. Until, like, until whenever.
You know, I mean, there have been times where I'm like, there have been times where I'm like, okay, how long am I going to do this? You know, like, what am I doing? And sometimes I'm up late and I have to finish a thing and make sure it comes out because I don't want it to be late. Because why? I don't know, because I'm in this cycle of doing this. You know what I mean? So I haven't really given it that much thought, to be honest with you, about quitting or stopping. Only when I get frustrated or I get tired and I'm like, I don't want to do this week. But I've kind of found a way to do it where I can have a bunch of conversations over the course of a couple weeks, not have any for a couple weeks. But then when I don't sit down and do this with people, I start getting a little like, you know, oh, hey, I need to sit down and talk to someone about something.
But there must have been a point in the beginning where you were like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this thing. Like,
oh, yeah, every week. Yeah. I mean, every week. It was like, you know, like, okay, yeah. Well, I put out like 5 episodes. All right, well. All right, well, let's just, you know, Kelly Willis is coming over, so I might as well do something. You know what I mean? Keep on going. But yeah, I don't know. And now I feel like it's its own thing. You know, it's not just my thing anymore. It's got its own life and its own friends, and you know what I mean?
Well, and it used to be that it was everyone in your contact list on your phone. Right. You know, you could like call people, but now people come to you.
Publicist, right? Yeah, yeah, over the last, yeah, pretty much into the first year of doing it, then all of a sudden I started reaching out to, like, in the first year I would do things like reach out to people I didn't know and see, like, hey, will you come over? Someone that I've just seen around for years, like Kelly's a good example of that. And that was weird to be like, you want to come over? And then she came over, and then it was like, I realized, like, oh, we're like the same, exact same age. Like, I'm in love with your husband. You're in love with your husband. This is awesome.
We have that in common.
Yeah. And then I did a couple where I went after people whose music I didn't like, a couple people that I actually didn't really like, to see if I could really do this.
Was it like, did you go after them because you were like, well, I don't like their music, but
what am I going to do when someone comes in with music I don't like? How am I going to handle myself with that?
Oh, it wasn't
how am
like
I
a...
going to find, how am I going to find, how am I going to get through one whole hour?
I was like, you created your own gauntlet.
Yeah. And then I realized there are going to be people that I've had a thing with. Hunt Sales, I had a thing with, and we didn't settle it on mic like the Marin style. We did it on the porch before he came in, but you know, we didn't talk for fucking,
I haven't listened to the Hunt,
do for you, like almost 10 years.
Do you talk about it in the Hunt Sales episode? I haven't listened to
I
it.
Touch like, on it a little bit.
Oh.
Because he's also super fucking intimidating to me. There's also like that whole like, I'm totally talking to Hunt Sales. Still, like even yeah, though we're yeah, friends yeah, yeah, and yeah. stuff. Like, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Some people there, it's just like, I find that I'm best in an interview when I'm not intimidated at all, and when I don't have like, I'm not like, oh my god, I like love your music, and like,
you've had some big people on. I know we talked about the cult. You've had Gary. There have been times who intimidated you.
Well, I was really nervous to talk to Kevin Parker from Tame Impala because I it was right around the time of Currents, and I really liked that record.
Me too.
And you know, and he's like Kevin Parker from Tame Impala. I was like, my god. But then when he sat down, it was like, oh, I know you. You're the guy who sits around and like just makes music by yourself in your room. Like, oh, okay, cool. Like, let's talk about music. I mean, that's usually the way that it goes. Because most musicians, I feel, are not, they look like cool guys, but they're not really cool guys. They're musicians. You know what I mean? And musicians are kind of dorky.
They're cool
about
looking
music.
Nerds.
Yeah.
You know what exactly. I mean? They're super cool looking nerds. That's all it is.
Yeah. So, and the more deep they are into music, the more they kind of understand that about themselves. So if you're just talking, I think if you're talking to them about, I don't get to often hear like the story, you know, like big guys will have like the story that they're telling around the record that they have that
they tell
10,000 times. And when I get that, I'm always like, meh. But if I can get them to talk about music, you know, but you get to, you get everything. Like,
yeah.
You get to talk to people about like,
I do get
childhood.
People. I do get people in here that want to just do the bullet points of the record.
Well, how do you deal with that then?
I mean, I try to say it. I try to take care of that business. I let them know that I do it in the intro. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I did have one guy in here that in the middle of the thing, we were talking about going to the mall or something. He was like, I want to talk about my record. And he referred to it by name. And I was just like, he really lost me. Like, I remember going back and listening to it like a month later and seeing, like, I wonder if I was like a dick at the end of this thing. And I wasn't a dick, but I definitely wasn't.
You had a little faraway look in your voice.
He turned me off.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, you're going to sell your thing. You know what I mean? If you're cool as shit,
well,
someone's going to want to hear what you do.
Well, and that's
And people are going to want to hear about how you feel about the things that they have feelings about, as opposed to like this weird thing that happened when you made your record, which they don't relate to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you're making an honest connection with someone that they're going to remember you like, oh, this guy also hates Spencer's Gifts. You know what I mean?
Who hates Spencer's Gifts?
I don't know. No, I love it.
Everybody loves
it. Did I tell you a couple years ago, I got my cousin Emily a midget masturbator from there, which is a little midget that you wind up and he goes,
oh God.
It's awesome. It's literally the greatest Christmas gift I've ever given anyone.
Oh my God, Spencer's Gifts. It's like walking, like you walk in and you're like, it feels like 1984 in here. Like
it always
it's
does,
still
doesn't it?
1984. Yeah. Like the politics are 1984. The things, everything's blacklighty. Yeah, it's great. But anyway, yeah, I think you're right. Like when you show people who people really are, which is not something you get a lot. Because, yeah. You know, this is, as you had said before, it's like narrow casting, but it's also like getting into a level with people that most people don't get to get into in like the internet age. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's not some Facebook post or some tweet or something, you know, or some like article where someone basically ripped off your bio, you know, right, or like reprinted your press release.
There's a lot of that. There's a magazine, and I don't know if it's bad to say its name, but it is a circulated physical magazine here in town. I believe it's monthly.
Uh-huh.
And I got a text from them the other day, mm-hmm, that said, hey, do you want to be in our magazine? Did I show you this? Were you
no,
here when
you
that happened?
No, you told me about it. You told me about it. You were like, yeah, cool. You want to send a photographer over and interview me? And they were like, no, do you want to?
No, but also when they sent the thing the other day, it was a price list. Like if you want a full page story, you pay this much. If you want to be on the cover, you pay this much. And I was just like, That's how you do. Well, no wonder your thing sucks. And then they also wanted to do it a year ago. AJ told them to interview me. Like he called, hey man, interview my friend, dude.
Yeah.
And so they were like, hey, we'll do an interview with you. And I was like, oh, cool. Like, where do I meet you? And I'm like, no, we just email you the questions. And I was like, so I can spend a month presenting myself as like a fucking genius. Like,
would you take that long on like an email interview? Email interviews to me are the worst because people send them to me and I'll be like, some crappy two-word answer that I like try to get done before the kids get to bed. I'm like, it's the worst.
I remember doing one when my album Boy in a Box came. I remember doing two in one night and really spending a lot of time. Like you would an email. Like yeah, you would an important, like you're, you know.
Yeah.
Hey man, you still owe me $50 from that time. Like that email, like rewriting
make sure
it.
Is
makes
spelled,
sure
yeah,
all that, yeah,
make
yeah,
sure
yeah.
The tone is right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, sometimes people,
I mean, why even do it? You know what I mean? Like at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just print their bio.
Well, and I, you know, and sometimes I've sent like a press release out and then seen that press release pretty much just like regurgitated into a piece of press about me. And I'm like, oh, okay, well,
yeah.
I mean, I guess it's press. That's great. But this is different because people get to talk about it, about everything, about yeah, all the stuff, man.
Well, you know, what's interesting too is I have people, you're one of them. You're a person that I became friends with through doing this.
You, yeah. Jazz
you and I,
Mills.
You and
I know
I
you
friends,
became friends
Jazz
with.
Jazz Mills. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jazz I was around a lot and never really talked to her.
Yeah.
Because she has a resting face that doesn't look like she's welcoming.
It's true, but she is such a beautiful
Jesus.
Person.
Yeah, there's no one as nice. Yeah. I haven't seen her in a long time. Have you?
I saw her. We did a gig together. We were both at a Creative Action fundraiser and she was playing and I was emceeing and I was like, hey, Jazz Mills, you're here. And then we, you know, we just talked.
Celebrated.
She's really cool.
She yeah, is really cool.
She's really cool.
Yeah, her Taylor Muse and I are great friends through this. Mm-hmm. I met him as a stranger one day and did a podcast with him. And then we had each other's numbers and then he invited me to dinner one night with him and Tim Palmer or something.
It's because you're having like actual conversations with people. It's not like, so Taylor Muse, yeah, tell me all about, you know, it's like a real thing. And
what's the craziest thing that ever happened to you at a gig?
Yeah, exactly. You're like, so breakfast tacos, what's your favorite place? It's like, it's a, you're having a real conversation with people and you really connect. And then when you leave, it's like, oh, that felt like a connection. And it feels like, too, that you are actually connected within the Austin music community now, like in a major way.
You know, even when I felt disconnected, then starting to do it, I realized how connected I was then. But now, if I'm ever like, I'm not going to go there. I don't want to go by myself. Like, fucking seriously, there's going to be people there that, I mean, there was, what I told you earlier, I went to go see Jamie Harris the other night. There were so many people that had been on my show. It was weird. I mean, it wasn't weird. It was just, it was awesome.
Well, I mean, it's not weird. It's, you're doing a good job of like capturing this moment or these moments in like Austin, you know, music, which at this point is gonna like be 6 years.
Yeah.
6 years worth of like documenting the scene and talking to people who've been here in the 80s and talking to people who have been here in the 70s, talking to people who came here in the 90s, talking to people who just moved to town. Like, you're really getting this good,
yeah,
like picture of what Austin music,
yeah,
is like. And you know, it's not going to stay like that forever. So you're doing us all this really big service.
No,
and
the cool thing,
you know,
is I feel like I've picked up, I mean, I've definitely, there have been changes that have, profound changes. People have not been in, like, that came in at the beginning in one band are now in another band.
Well, yeah, and you're documenting, like, the migration, right, the musician migration out of town. You know, Susanna Schoffel, when she came on here, she lived here, and then she lived in New York, and now she lives in Buda.
Yeah.
Like, people are moving.
Oh, yeah, she did The Voice through that, like, she was, before she did The Voice, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, there was a lot of, there's been a lot of change. She's a good marker for this whole show.
But there are a bunch of artists that have been on, like, multiple times where you can kind of, like, trace their trajectory.
Yeah. Charlie Faye's a good one. I've gone through all of her things from when she was living in a city each for a month and recording.
Oh, yeah.
And then when she made the record player album where she did the record player, and now the Charlie Faye and the Fayettes.
Yeah.
She's done all three of those. She's come on here and talked about all those things.
And like, yeah.
It is interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. I think you're actually doing like, you're doing us all a service, man.
Well, thanks. And I also feel like when people are able to talk about their story, that then the audience can connect with them and want to hear their music.
Well,
you know, like a personal story, once they realize what this person's about, how they feel about them all. You know what I mean?
People feel comfortable enough to do it because you're pretty open about your story, mm-hmm, which is like a Maron thing. You know what I mean? Like the genius of Marc Maron and the genius of Johnny Gowdy is that you guys just kind of put it out there, like what you've been through.
Well, that's what I realized when I started this, that there's Howard Stern, Maron, guys that get stuff. Like, Terry Gross does not give up shit about,
yeah,
who
it's
she
true.
Is,
Terry Gross,
about her life.
That, yeah, she's, it's like close, it's close to the chest, baby. Like, she,
the only, the only person that gets shit out of her is Maron.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. And it feels good to be like that.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. Like, over the last, there are times, you came in the other day and you asked me how I was doing, and you were like, oh no, because I heard about Zuri and that it says, oh, and I was like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, because I don't think about that many people listening to it. I just kind of like go through my thing. And yes, if at that moment that's troubling me when I sit down and do it, I go into it.
Yeah.
And I don't really think about the the world. I mean, it's good. You know, it's hard because if you think about it, you'll start holding back and editing stuff. And then stuff doesn't really make sense as to why you feel a certain way. Why are you so bummed out about this? You know, I think I've also found a way to do it without outing people.
Yeah.
Without making an ex-girlfriend look horrible or, yeah, you know what I mean? Or making myself look victimized. Or I think I try to keep it as open and honest as possible and try to keep a good perspective on my role.
Well, and I think it's pretty multifaceted too, because I think especially like in the internet age, it's the age of oversharing, but people will tend to overshare all the good shit. You know what I mean? It's like you hear about the really, really good shit or the really, really bad shit, but just like the day-to-day like person stuff,
yeah,
that's kind of what you get. And this leads me back to like the beginning of what we were talking about, which was that it was the first time that you had said this in the three, and this is the third time we've done this interview, but the first time that you've said it, which was that like you didn't really start the podcast until you had resolved some stuff
about yeah, I'm your sorry. Mom.
Yeah.
You know?
I thought I said that in one of them with Hallman. Well, with the one with Hallman.
Maybe.
I felt a little more comfortable. Maybe I took that
maybe,
out.
Maybe. No, with Hallman, you had said, you know, with Hallman, I think you had said, like, when you did that interview with Hallman, you had said that you had taken stuff out because right. everything went down.
Right, right.
But, yeah, I thought it was interesting that, like, it wasn't really until you felt comfortable being open with all of it.
Yeah.
That you were ready to do this podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because that was a part of my life. You know, my mom's murder, I just never wanted to cross the two. I mean, I don't know why. It's one informed the other. I just never wanted to disrespect my mom's memory with, and buy my album because I'm super fucked up.
Right. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not something you want to capitalize on.
No. And I, yeah.
And it's also probably something that you maybe didn't want to talk to everyone about, you know, like.
No, because there is, like, it was very tough after, you know, I mean, you were here. That stuff was in the paper a lot that day, the week of the trial. I was on TV a lot. There was a lot, and there was a 48 hours, so people, like, all over the world knew. And it really, it was tough on the level of breaking down your shit at the end of a gig at, like, Cedar Street and having some lady stumbling towards you to talk about it.
Oh, and, like, looking at you a certain way. Probably, like, because people look at people who've gone through things like a
certain
way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. This is so funny. Jesse and I used to call it 48 Hours Face because that's a show that covered that thing. And when I would walk up, you'd see people go, and you're like, oh, they're tilting their head and kind of sighing.
I guess you've seen the thing
Yeah. There was a scene where I was in Target with the guy that used to work with Skyrocket, our roadie guy. Uh-huh. And we were playing. You go to Houston to play?
I have.
You know that weird Westin and Memorial Hospital that's next to Memorial City Mall now?
I am not like that a familiar Skyway. With Houston.
Okay,
yeah.
So whatever. Okay. So we're playing at this hotel. We have 3 hours to kill, and there's a mall. So we go to the mall. Mall has a Target. Go looking for shit at Target, and we're shopping. And this man grabs his wife and, like, points at me, and they both just start crying. And I was like, fuck. They're walking towards me, and I was like, what does this have to do with me? And so they were like, are you the guy whose mom was murdered, and you're a musician? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, we saw your show, man. It was fucking intense and weird.
Oh, wow.
The best thing was that Jake, when they walked away, Jake was like, shit, you should have asked them to buy you a shirt. I'm sorry. I make horrible jokes about it because it's been a long time, but... You know, yeah, that was weird, and it was a lot, and I mean, I was getting, you know, I was getting propositioned by people from all over the world that saw that show, and what they took from it is we should fuck, you know what I mean?
No.
Yeah, guys and girls. I had a great dude. I have a great one from a dude that has his own garage in Illinois.
Uh huh. He's his own garage.
That's what he. Yeah, he's a mechanic, but he's not just a mechanic. He has his own garage.
Okay,
like he's
okay.
like.
He's like, I'm
not just the dude. I'm the owner.
Yeah.
So I gave him a southern accent for some reason. I've never talked to him, but it's such a great email. I felt like I had to respond to it and just be like, thank you, man.
Thank you.
He basically was offering me the world. And he was like, you have the kindest eyes, and I know we would have a beautiful life together. And I'm just like,
people are so interesting.
It's interesting.
You know
it is interesting
I mean?
When
it's
that
like
happens.
You probably would get if you went to jail for doing something really.
Oh yeah,
penis. You would probably
there's those yeah. there's those kind of people.
Yeah,
like Manson apparently gets like always has.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
So anyway,
you had to be in a place where you could like
I was okay. Where you I was were okay. okay. Everything could, everything was out there. Yeah. My weird secret that would kill a party.
Yeah,
you know
man.
What I mean. Uh-huh. Like what about your parents? Where did your mom live? Oh, my mom died. Oh no, when did she die? I was like 17. Oh really? She have cancer or something? No, she was murdered. Yeah, it's like the record scratch. Then it turns into this. Yeah, then 48 hours face happens everywhere. Like, oh, how are you still here?
Yeah. Well, I asked you that when we started the last interview. I was like, how do you deal with this? And you're like, look, man.
You just do.
You do. And I went to a lot of therapy and I did a lot of work. Yeah. And like.
And the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone is the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone. Right?
How do
so mine is like my mom was murdered.
Yeah.
Yours is, I don't know what.
Yeah.
Someone else's. But it's still the very worst thing. No matter what, it's the same level of terrible that's happened to everyone. And that's an interesting thing to come across, because then you start realizing everyone's the same. And really, everyone does have some kind of thing that they're trying to overcome.
Yeah.
You know? Which I guess really helped me doing this show.
I was gonna say,
I'm just thinking about it now. I'm like, oh, well, I bet that helped me.
I mean, do you feel like, is that a place that you try to go with people? Do you try to kind of figure out what that... I'm trying to think. Like, it seems
like what keeps them going?
Or what? Like, what is the thing? Yeah. I mean, sometimes
I try to.
Yeah.
I try to. You can tell. You know, I think that I'm not asking the tough questions, in that if I feel the vibe of someone not wanting to talk about something, yeah, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I think is nice, because I think that does allow people to kind of be their best selves on their own.
Yeah.
You know, you're not like confrontational, like,
no,
at all, which is nice.
No, yeah. I don't. No, I guess I'm learning from Rush Limbaugh and those guys. I didn't take that part of it.
Yeah.
I just find them to be entertaining. I find their level of broadcast professionalism, not the content of anything that they're saying, but the volume at which they say it and the excitement at which they can do these things, and the drama, like, you can listen to Rush Limbaugh just by himself, and he's like, we're talking about the thing that happened. And he will let fucking 10 seconds of silence go by, where you're just like, what?
What happened? What is the thing? That
what
happened?
Did those horrible Clintons do now, Rush? What did they do?
I think, you know, it's like all those guys, Rush Limbaugh, Howard Stern, Sean Hannity. I think Mark Maron, I love.
We should put him in there with all those. So in case Mark, he ever hears it, he'll be very much hateful towards us.
No, but all those guys, I think it's I could, especially as like a woman, I could never overlook the content of what they were saying.
Sure.
It always seems to come around.
You have a problem with the term feminazi?
Exactly.
What's wrong with you?
It always seems to like be like directed towards oppressing me. But but that's just like living in the world, you know what I mean? So
I could see one of those guys coming on the radio and being like, I saw a beautiful story about what the future could be. Have you guys heard of A Handmaid's Tale on Hulu?
No, exactly. There's this great utopia.
Yeah. Have you watched that show?
Oh yeah. And fuck, I sit there and I'm like, oh my god, it's too close. But you know, I actually got mad. I was on the road, we were in Chicago, and I was on the road with like my husband Dave was playing. No, it couldn't have been Dave, but maybe Dave was there for some reason. Timmy Campbell was playing drums, and it was maybe Vance Hazen was playing bass, and David Lazaroff was playing guitar. Anyway, we were all sharing a hotel room, because that's how it rolled, you know, all sharing a hotel room. Mm-hmm. And those guys turned on Howard Stern, and I got so fucking pissed at them. I was like, you motherfuckers need to turn that off. And it became a thing. Where
what about
I was like,
it?
What? Well, I just fucking hate Howard Stern.
You do?
Well, he's just, I mean, the way that they talk about women is like unacceptable to me. Like the whole aesthetic of that thing is like, no, I'm not in my life. I'm not doing it.
I dig it. I see what you say.
But anyway, that's just me. But I'm glad that you didn't take that from them. You know what I mean? You're not aggressive.
No, I didn't take that. I didn't take the content.
Like, you're
I still
mean spirited.
No,
at all.
No. Yeah. I'm an NPR guy. It's just that tone that NPR has is not making people jump up and go like, "Fuck, I gotta." You know, I mean, there is NPR moment.
To Jamie
there
Harris's
is there is the
thing.
NPR moment.
Yeah.
Where you sit in your car, and that still happens to me.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It, you know, the content of all that shit, from This American Life to Fresh Air to All Things Considered to All Songs Considered. I had a beautiful experience listening to Giles Martin talking about the new Sgt. Pepper.
Oh, cool.
You know? Yeah.
Who's you Giles Martin?
Giles Martin is the son of George Martin.
Oh, okay. I figured there was some connection
there. He took over for his dad when his dad was losing his hearing, and they were remixing these Beatles songs. His dad brought him in to help him, and then he's kind of taken over the thing.
Oh, wow.
Being the Beatles guy.
Cool. Yeah.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
Imagine if your job was just remixing Beatle records, like making Beatle records better.
I think it would be too much pressure. I think I'd be like, I don't know. I'm not sure if you could really
It really,
really
does
that.
Take the guy that grew up being
the
guy who did it all's son to be like that. You're right.
Well, we just went and saw Brian Wilson, and and Al Jardine's son is now in the band, and he sings all the high parts, and it's like, of course,
yeah, The you guy need to get a guy from inside.
You need to get the guy who like was around when like Brian Wilson was singing those parts. Who was like around. You need to get that guy. So, but back to the podcast, Danny.
Please.
Back to the podcast. So you're about to hit 600 episodes. You've done two a week for
almost six years. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, how much more are you going to do?
I'm going to keep on going. I mean, I don't know. I wanted to. I don't think it should stop. Every time you ask me, I have a different thing. I'm like, well, at least 100 more.
Yeah, the first time it was 100 more, and then it was like,
I don't know. I don't think of it in terms of that.
Well, we talked
about, because I think if I start thinking about that, then I start fantasizing of a life where every Monday and every Thursday, I'm not rushing around trying to make sure. Oh, I get, you know, I'm out to dinner. Like, oh fuck, I forgot to do the thing. I got to go home and do the intro to my podcast again, or you know what I mean?
I mean, it does feel sometimes. I mean, I've only released 86 episodes, but sometimes I'm like, you know what I need? I need a break from this. I need to not put out a podcast episode. In fact, I'm going to go away and go to Seattle with my sister. And I was trying to plan in advance for that. And I was like, you know what? No, I'm not putting out a podcast episode that week. We're taking a break. But you're just going to keep doing it?
You don't have I do that all the time. Like I say, I'm just not going to put any shows out this week. And then it's like, Monday night at 9, and I'm like, what the fuck is wrong? What am I, crazy?
Do you go back on it and then you do put out the shows?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. The only ones I missed were, I missed one a couple of months ago, but that was the first one I'd missed since like 2012 when my girlfriend Jessie and I broke up. I didn't know how to, I'd always been like, the last thing I'd said was, I'm going to San Diego for my girlfriend's art opening. I love her so much. I can't wait till she comes back. And then like I come back and I'm like, she dumped me. Oh, and God. So I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed for myself with my audience, because here I had been like for all these months, she hadn't been here. Like just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Being stupid, not stupid, but you know, in love and like, and you're like, I'm such a tool.
Oh.
And so I didn't put any out for maybe a week or maybe a week and a half. Maybe I didn't put out three episodes or something.
But you've put out two episodes a week since then.
Sometimes three. There have been a lot of times where I've had three. Because I, like in South by Southwest, there were a couple of South by Southwest where I did like 20 fucking shows.
Yeah.
And like shows that went all the way until like the end of May. You know, oh, this is one I did, you know, whatever. And, you know, there's ones that you know the one I did where I said the sexist comment and the lady wrote me?
No.
And told me to explain myself?
Wait, what happened? No, I don't.
You didn't know this? I can't remember the lady's name, but she's a musician.
Wait, did you interview someone and said something sexist? Or
no, I put a tweet. Okay. I'm going to tell you this whole story. It's great.
Okay, cool.
And it shows how the power of the podcast. I tweeted. They said, Bridget Jones... They're making a new Bridget Jones movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and it said like her, but now she's going to be like 50 and she's going to be like, you know, still trying to figure out her life. And I was like, they're making a new Bridget Jones movie. Bridget Jones at 50. What's the opposite of boner?
Oh.
Terrible.
Terrible. Terrible. Yeah.
So a lady called me out on it.
Uh-huh.
On Facebook, and in a way, on Facebook, on Twitter, I can't remember, but probably on Facebook. So she called me out in a way that was like, yo, you're just an asshole sexist guy. Like, instead of talking to me about it, where am I coming from? What was I, like, sitting there in my underwear by myself, like, nobody's living here, I'm a lonely person, like, I'm making fun of someone that's in a movie, I'm sorry. And I know that a lot of people know that girl here in town, and I didn't mean it. Like it sounded. I meant it like an asshole.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay.
And so
she wrote that stuff and she insulted me personally. And then I said, hey, instead of doing this in a comment feed, let's get together and talk on the mics.
What episode is this?
And then she wrote me.
Uh-huh.
And she said, when can you come over? And I was like, I can come over now. Sent me her address. I went over there. She made me lunch. And then we sat down and talked it out. But she backpedaled.
Oh, she did? Well, it's harder. I mean, you know, it's harder. If we all had to talk to each other in person, but we'd never treat each other like shit on the internet.
You know what? if we could do that with everyone, and like, let's just talk, like, stop right now. Don't make any more comments.
Yeah.
Meet
me at South Congress Cafe.
We're going to record this, and everyone's going to hear what you say to me and what I say to you.
Oh.
So let's see what this is about, and let's see what humanity, let's raise humanity a little bit from this just fucking like face. I didn't know that lady.
Yeah.
I will say this. She gave me her album when I was leaving and told me she'd like to be on the show sometime. And that was like one of those things where I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
did you put the recorded thing out?
Yeah.
I want to
hear
this.
I put it out that same day. Like, I went there, came home, and put it out. I was really proud of myself. I felt like that was my moment of journalism.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So, yeah, I'll send you a link to that. It's good. I thought it was good.
Yeah, and I think you should keep on doing this thing, and I think you should get some help doing it.
Yeah,
because what we talked about this in the last one was
I'm ready.
That, like, making the thing, you're a guy who likes to make things.
Yes.
You don't necessarily like to sell things.
No. I need to find a seller.
Making the thing and selling the thing are two different things, and there's just not that many people who are good at both.
No, and I know those of you out there are like, fuck, this guy's always like, hey, Skyrock is playing a thing, man. Hey, listen to my podcast. Hey, I'm going to do this. Hey, I just farted. But I'm really not even doing it right. I'm doing it like an old person on it. I posted it on Facebook. Yeah, but you didn't use the right hashtags. But I don't want to use the right... I don't want that... I mean, is that terrible? I don't want that.
You know what, Jenna?
I want to be a maker of things, not an internet guy.
I think that you can make it whatever you want. I think if you want to grow it, you need to find someone who's into selling it and growing it. But I think that you make it, it's just like music, you know, you make it what you want. Like, it's your life.
Yeah.
We are all going to die.
Yeah.
You might as well do it the way you want to do it right now, you know? Like, that's the thing. So if you want to just be the guy who makes things, then be the guy who makes things and find someone who likes to sell them.
That's a good thing. I'm not doing a good job.
I think you do a fine job.
Yeah, I'd like to find someone that works from their house because I do my shit whenever.
Yeah.
A lot of times I wake up at like 6 in the morning and then I do all the shit I have to do then.
Yeah. And you like to have time to do other things. Like
make music.
Because I am surprised that you have time to play in Skyrocket, make this podcast, and then go and, like, make your own music. It's crazy to me.
Well, the Skyrocket thing really is, like, 3 hours on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then usually my Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays are kind of eaten up by Skyrocket. But that leaves me Monday, Tuesday, almost all of Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning.
But Monday you're putting out a podcast, and Thursday you're putting out a podcast.
Doesn't take all day.
That's true.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's time. I don't have a job that's 8 or 9 hours a day every day, 5 days a week that I'm exhausted from when I come home. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But so, if you concentrated more on selling this, it would be like that's a job.
Yeah.
That's like
it's a job I don't want.
And it's a job.
I would stop doing it if I was just a salesman.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what it kind of becomes. Yeah. So
that's how it goes.
That's my advice to you,
thank
Jenna
you.
Getty.
Yeah, I'm gonna get help. Anyone out there that thinks that they know stuff and can handle the non-talking part of this podcast,
that's what you need. You put it out into the universe, manifest it.
I put shit out in the universe.
But so, I just hope you keep doing this because I love it.
I will. Thank you so much. You've been a supporter for a long time, and this is how we know each other.
Yeah.
It's through the show,
and
then we became friends.
And I'm a real kind of, I can be kind of uptight about new relationships. So I think the first time we talked, you were like, hey, let's hang out. And I was like, I don't know. But over the years,
and
it's
you
like,
came to my birthday one time.
I came
time.
To your birthday, and I've seen you out at stuff, and over the years, and then you came and you talked on my podcast,
mm-hmm.
and that was one of the best interviews that we've ever had. And like Dave, I think Dave and I edited that together, and Dave was listening. He's like, man, I'll tell you what, this interview, this is how the interview should sound. You and Johnny sound great. Johnny's just a good interview. Like,
yeah.
But it was just, you know, it was fun. We were at our ease. That's the whole thing, man. So.
Yeah, you have a great show. People should go to it, KUTX.org. It's called This Song. Elizabeth is also a DJ. I want to do one of those evaluations with
Jody Denberg?
Jody Denberg.
Oh, man. I bet if you tweeted him, be like, hey, could I do an air check with you? He would like...
I went to his house to do his podcast.
He has a podcast?
To my podcast.
Oh, okay.
When he was on my podcast, I went to his house. Wouldn't that be so funny?
Jody Denberg has a podcast?
Yeah, it's been around for like 8 years. You never heard it?
yeah, he's like a super cool guy. I Yeah, you should do one of those things. So
all those guys over there, Lori, always great. Oh yeah, Lori's all you guys great. Are very supportive of the show.
We're big fans.
Both of you guys give me credit and stuff. I've heard Lori say, I learned, like when she's doing the Austin Music Minute, I learned about this on Johnny Gowdy's podcast.
Well, we are.
How did I get here?
We're all helping each other. Hashtag. You know? Yeah. Hashtag, how did I get here? All one word, no spaces. Okay. So, yeah. Well, so am I missing anything?
No.
Am
I missing anything? Am I missing anything? Are we missing? Is there anything about you I did not find out? Is there anything you want to tell the people before we go? Another one I've noticed that I said.
No, you pretty much say, am I missing anything? Not am I missing anything? Like I ruined my chance to be like.
No, try it again. Try it again.
Okay. So am I missing anything?
No. I think that three times, like we've done this like. The first two were an hour and a half. This one's just an hour.
This is just an
hour. We literally have 4 hours somewhere. Well, I have the other hour and a half here. There's another one in the ether. But thank you so much for doing this. Yeah, it meant a lot that you did it for me. Because
thank you for asking me.
Yeah.
And thanks for letting me redeem myself. One day I'll let you play.
Thank you for letting me redeem myself.
That original one. And people will be like, damn, McQueen is like a real downer. Which I am. In many ways, but
you're not. You're a ray of sunshine.
Oh man, not when I go dark, man.
Well, we all go dark, man.
Oh, it's good. It's good. It feels good to go dark sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you get back to the.
Then when you climb out, you're like, oh, that's what the light feels like.
Thank you for staying here so long. I hope that your family made you dinner. Hey. People, thank you so much for listening to this show. Elizabeth McQueen is awesome. You want to tell them about Let's Get Down?
Yeah. Let's Get Down. I don't know. I should have said that at the beginning. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time.